Welcome, folks, to the third episode of the New England Holstein podcast. And my name's Betsy Bullard. I'm your host for today's episode. And I farm with my family at Breguin Farms in Turner, Maine. And I also serve as the Area 1 Director to Holstein USA. The New England Holstein Association was founded in 1921, and it has a mission statement around being a member association dedicated to encouraging the breeding and raising of registered Holsteins. And this podcast intends to provide resources towards those ends while increasing member connectedness. This episode is fully sponsored by the New England Holstein Association, but future episodes continue to offer advertising opportunities. Our topic for today's podcast is youth activities. And joining me for the pod is Nicole Schwab. Thanks, Nicole, for joining me today. And Nicole is the keeper of all our youth activities in New England and is not only coach for our various youth activities, but is also kind of the leader and head cat herder for the whole process. So thanks, Nicole, for all the work that you do there. And I think it would be helpful for folks to just get a little bit of historical perspective on youth programs, both in New England and nationally. And when we think about way back in 1921, the association clearly signaled its commitment to youth by voting a cash appropriation for calf club work at Eastern States Expo. This early recognition of value in cultivating young people's interest in working with registered Holsteins has been supported throughout the years by our strong youth programs. Since 1922, and Nicole, you're going to have to check my math on this. I believe there are 20 juniors from New England that have been designated National Distinguished Junior Members, stretching all the way from Dorothy Eager of Massachusetts in 1938 to Gregory Norris in 2021, and completely hot off the presses news that one of 2024's semifinalists is our very own Keenan Tygeson of Tunbridge, Vermont. So we're excited to keep that process going. It wasn't too long after the first National Dairy Bowl in 1980 that our knowledgeable junior members, under the guidance of dedicated coaches, were bringing home the laurels. I can't take credit for the fabulous phrasing on that. We'll have to share credit to our wonderful folks in the office, Linda and Haggerty and her mother. The 1986 Senior Division winning team members were Jason Devineaux, Karina Aldridge, Chrisanne Hartshorn, and Rodney Hall, and they were coached by Connie Wood. And on through the years, we had winning senior division team in 1990. Some other familiar names there, Kelly Devineaux, Samantha Stoddard, Andrew King, and Steve Carson, coached by Jason Devineaux. 1994, both junior and senior teams won. And on through several more very successful teams. Nicole, you're going to have to help me with the most recent years. And if that makes a wonderful segue to talk about both, if you would be willing to talk about both your experiences as a junior in those programs and how that ultimately morphed into the role that you occupy in supporting our juniors today.
Thank you for having me. Junior Holstein has been something that's been near and dear to my heart since I was a young teenager. I was a kind of a late starter to both 4-H and Junior Holstein. I didn't start 4-H until I was 12, which some of these guys start when they're walking. You crawl, you walk, you start showing cows. And I was a seventh grader and I started showing and participating in 4-H here in Massachusetts. And then 2 years later, I attended my first New England Holstein convention, which was actually in Northampton, Mass that year. And I was the alternate for the junior team to Iowa. And I was so bummed to be an alternate. It was like a heartbreak and a half for me. And it pushed me so hard to work and get on that team. And then I was able to secure spots from 02 to 07, I believe, or 06 maybe. And I was participating in both junior and senior Dairy Bowl and was actually one of the first years that Dairy Jeopardy started that I got to participate in Dairy Jeopardy out in South Dakota. It was only a few years old then. I was coached. Our Massachusetts coach was Angie Facey, then Moschini, now Facey. And she actually took us to the New England conventions and then jumped on with Rebecca Hale as our New England coaches. I credit Rebecca so much with the way I coach today. She was certainly the inspiration for how to wrangle all these kids and how to do it in a way that we had fun and we learned a lot and built a really great camaraderie. I have been trying to convince her to come out of retirement and jump back in here with me, but it's always nice to see her and get her encouragement. Those guys, those two ladies certainly helped me decide that not only did I want to participate, but then as soon as I was kind of done, I came back around and we were sort of lacking in a coach. So I took a Massachusetts team in 2013 to Indianapolis. We didn't really have a lot of structure going on in New England. And then the following year, I took it and the rest is history. And here we are. So we've had some really robust full groups the last 10 years, seeding kids in all the competitions, speaking, DJM, the Quiz Bowl, Jeopardy, everything. And so it's been a lot of fun. And I'm looking forward to taking the group out to Salt Lake City here in what, 2 months, a little bit more than 2 months. And we had our practice yesterday and we're getting to that point. We're getting ready.
Well, thanks, Nicole. That's a great set of background information for folks to understand what your experience looked like. I feel like you probably were a little modest on that. I think in 02, both junior and senior teams were second in the national contest. And referred to Rebecca, and she was the coach again of that 1995 senior team that won as well. So there's definitely a pretty long history of teams having a great time and crisscrossing the country and making new connections there. So I think it's interesting if folks don't know, I think historically, if we look at the Dairy Bowl having started in 1980, you talked about Jeopardy having started quite a bit later than that. And really that it seems like there are a lot more junior opportunities for convention participation contests and just things to do. If you describe kind of what those things are today, because I think we all are pretty interested in making sure that our juniors are involved and not everybody is super excited about being on a Dairy Bowl team, which is
right. It's a lot of work to be on a Dairy Bowl team. Obviously, when the way, and I think also worth noting is New England's a little different. We're the only ones that send a regional team. A lot of the time when we go out to convention, the kids get asked, what's New England? Where's that? And, you know, we're the only one that sends a regional team versus a state team or a group, I should say, and adds a little something to it. And so when you have this large group of kids from all over New England, and then we have all these different activities for them, it really gets to be kind of a well-rounded experience. So we always seat our Quiz Bowl and Dairy Junior and Senior Dairy Bowl teams, and then our Jeopardy. And within that group, a lot of the times we have kids that also want to participate in prepared public speaking. Perhaps they want to do a trifold display or maybe just take charge on our scrapbook or our banner. We have a sort of a history with our banner. We go a little far on the creativity route, and we let everyone sort of take their creative liberties. A lot of times I just stand back and whatever you guys want to do. New England, we're sort of known for our quick-witted sarcasm and dry sense of humor. And I find that our kids like to impart that in their speeches. So it's an opportunity to be creative. It's an opportunity if you have a topic that you really feel strongly about. Sometimes we get kids who do a topic in school for something and they turn that into a trifold display to take to nationals or a speech. Similarly, they do a visual presentation for 4-H and they want to turn that into a Holstein speech. And I think that's cool. So it just adds so much more to your dairy project. You know, you might not be a farm kid. We've got a bunch of kids on this team this year that are lease kids. They don't come from a dairy farm and fully immersed in dairy when they participate in the, you know, New England Junior Holstein along with their 4-H. It's really great.
So with all those different programs, Nicole, what's a typical number of kids that New England would send out into the world, like to Salt Lake, for example?
Salt Lake, we're taking 14. That seems to be right about our sweet spot the last few years, as the, you know, the numbers have sort of, they've been pretty steady for us. I think most junior associations right now have been trying to encourage membership after COVID and bringing in new kids and maintaining the ones that we had. We try to make it so if we have kids, you know, that are trying out, we try to find a home for everyone we can. New England, as a board, has always been super supportive about sponsoring the kids. Let's send as many spots as we can. And I always appreciate that where, you know, it's hard to tell kids no, or you've been cut. And so when you can find a home for them somewhere, it's really nice because maybe they just need a year to get started and they're fully into it after that. I think our team brings real camaraderie into play with this group, with these groups. They gravitate towards each other and they stick with it for years and years, and they bring their siblings along, and it's a lot of fun. Right now we have more sibling combinations than I've ever had on the team, and it really it's interesting dynamic. We get a lot of beans spilled that probably shouldn't get spilled at practice.
I feel like interesting dynamic is probably a great way to describe that. I can only imagine.
They keep me laughing. I every practice, I come out of the practice and I'm maybe a little mentally exhausted, but I have been laughing for 6 hours straight because say enough about them. They're funny kids. They're good kids. And I wouldn't probably still be doing it if I didn't enjoy their company so much. It's a lot of work.
Absolutely. A huge amount of work. And so let's talk about that for a sec. New England Convention, as you indicated, New England's a little different than some of the states. Our convention runs typically like in that October, late October kind of range. And participants are selected for the various contests at that point. So what are our kids' responsibilities from the end, from the end of October to the end of June when they hit the stage in Salt Lake?
So we select our kids. So unlike, the states that have a state competition and a lot of them send a county team or, they kind of have that core group, we select from throughout New England. So whoever wants to come to convention for New England comes. You kind of compete more as an individual. You represent your state, but you're on an individual. Once we're done, we sort of compile the scores and we sort of figure out what works with who we've got age-wise and division-wise. And then we start our first practice right away in November. We do one practice a month through June. And then starting in May, we will start Zooming once a week also to just get everybody really, one night a week. I have been so grateful. New Hampshire has let us practice in their conference room literally forever. I used to practice there. They have been so generous to let us use their conference room. So we convene there. And that the first part is getting there, right? New England's a pretty big region and everybody's got about a 2 hour or more ride to get in. And so we make it a full day long thing. And I expect you, if you're on the team, I expect you to be at the practices. I know, there's a lot of things that come up in life, but got to be at the majority of the practices. Obviously, if you're away in school, far away for college, we will Zoom you in. We have assignments that are due. And usually if anyone has done Quiz Bowl, there's lots of sources that are used. So the assignments typically come from Hordes Dairyman Issue, the Pulse, Holstein Association website, current events. During the practice, we go over those things. We do written tests. The speakers do their speeches. We have some brainstorming sessions. Yesterday, we had a good brainstorming session about what our handout's going to be at the junior mixer. I think we've settled on something fairly obnoxious. So it should be good. Kazoos is what it sounds like.
Thinking that I had heard a rumor of kazoos.
Kazoos.
Looking forward to having those in my house, however briefly.
Yes, I think everyone will be so thrilled. And then in the afternoon after lunch, we buzz. And true to following in Rebecca's form, I provide the candy incentive to buzz in. She always did that for us. And so I go to Costco and I buy the big 20-pound bags of candy and we play. And so usually I'm sure when I send everybody home after that, all sugared up, there's probably some parents that don't love that. It helps. My main thing is I've always felt like, you can learn a lot doing Quiz Bowl and Jeopardy, and you can do all the studying and things. But I think it's just as important, especially in a region like this where we're spread apart, that kids know each other. They like each other. They support each other. Good camaraderie. I've always felt like when I look back at my junior Holstein memories, as much as I remember those contests and the tough rounds and all of that, a lot of my really fond memories of those times are the fun and games that went along with it. I'm really keen to make sure that that's always a part of it too.
That's a great point, Nicole. And I think one of the common denominators in each of these episodes that we've done thus far, we're on number three at this point, are those connections and the various New England Holstein activities, certainly the youth activities. And, we've talked about some marketing things and some, just the overall framework, and really is all about those connections and furthering those connections. And always amazes me to see our kids head out to Salt Lake or someplace else, even closer to home in the eastern parts of this country, and meet new people and see some of the same people that they have met at previous conventions. And when I look back at the makeup of some of those teams in years past and some of those DJM folks that we've had from New England, we have other generations from a pretty good number of those people that are in the program today. So it's a pretty cool set of connections, and it's a pretty broad network.
Yep, and then they all see each other. You go to something like National Dairy Challenge, and you see your Holstein friends, and you go to any of those other collegiate activities, and they all report back, "Hey, guess who we saw?"
Small world for sure. So I think I had suggested one homework assignment to think about an iconic cow. I don't want to just completely spring this on you, but I sort of do. Is there a particularly amusing story that you feel like would be appropriate to share from your time working with the juniors?
Oh, there are many. A lesson learned in the coaching department a couple years ago was when we were heading out to South Dakota, and I decided to incentivize the kids to get their assignments done by telling them that if the juniors completed all of their homework assignments and the seniors did not, the juniors got to pie the seniors. And vice versa, if the seniors completed theirs and the juniors did not, the seniors would pie the juniors. And if everybody completed everything, I would get pied by everyone. And I certainly thought that was going to be what happened. I thought I was going to get it. What turned out to happen is the juniors actually won. But what ended up happening was on the day of the pieing, it became a sibling versus sibling pie fest in the yard after practice. And the intention was there, and everyone was very excited about it. But I'm not entirely sure all the correct people got pied that day. It was a lot of fun, and I have not done that since. But it was a fun experiment nonetheless. And yeah, you have to figure out ways to get them to want to do the assignments. And I mean, I remember being in school, you don't want to do your homework always. So a little incentive.
So, what did you have for an iconic New England cow that you thought of?
As I was thinking about this, there were a few that came to mind. And the one that pops into my mind, although she was not bred in New England, she called New England home, I think sticks with me, Hillcroft Leader Melanie, because the year that she and Veronica did the clean sweep out at Expo was 2004. I happened to be out there for my very first World Dairy Expo. There used to be a quiz bowl contest out there, an invitational. And Massachusetts sent a team, and we went out and we won. And it was the day of Supreme Champion. So we got to stay and watch Supreme. Watching those two cows from New England clean sweep and seeing that Holstein out there take it all, being like, wow, when you go out to Wisconsin, you kind of feel like a little fish when you're from New England, especially from Massachusetts. You're just a little guy. And to watch a Southern New England herd have the dominance that they did that day. And that cow, we see her everywhere, right? Like she's on the ice cream. If you live in Southern New England, like I do, you see her on the delivery trucks when you see the Arethusa vans out still delivering ice cream on 91. And I mean, she was not only was she a tremendous brood cow and a 96 point cow and awesome cow just in her own right. It was just really, to me, it was kind of like a inspiring cow to be like, yeah, look what you can do. You're from New England, but wow. So whenever I think of, I mean, being also a Jersey breeder, it was very cool, both of them out there. But from a Holstein point of view, I thought that was maybe a cow that stuck out the most to me.
Thank you. And thanks for bringing up
Yeah,
the Jersey
that was a
thing
fun
too.
day.
Yeah. And well, thanks for bringing up the
Yeah.
Jersey thing too, because I like to think anyways that we're pretty equal opportunity. I think we have lots of kids that have, I don't want to say we've drawn them over to the dark side with Holsteins from other breeds, but we're definitely open to anybody with any young people with interest in dairy and interest in some of those programs. And certainly you deserve lots of credit for that. So thank you.
Absolutely. It's, I think, Holstein Foundation and Holstein programming as a breed association is, in my opinion, is the dominant for youth programming. That's what everyone kind of looks to, the big ticket programs. And I like to encourage, I'm a YDLI graduate as well, and I like to encourage the kids that went through junior activities to consider that when they get out. There's just so many opportunities through Holstein that are for equal opportunity for everybody, and it provides a more well-rounded dairy experience for everybody.
It makes a great segue for a plug for the Holstein Foundation programming, up to and including certainly Young Dairy Leaders Institute, which is a pretty life-changing process.
Yes.
According to folks that have been through it, it's rigorous, it's broad-based, and information that we wouldn't necessarily access at either at home on the farm or in industry jobs, and it gets back to those networks also. So a great pathway for some of our juniors once they get to be, I don't want to say adults, because I have really struggled with growing up, going to college, all that good stuff, which is keep lots of enthusiasm.
Yes, that's the whole point, right? You got to have those juniors to keep the wheels turning going forward in the associations. So the payback on the investment of time is worth it all day.
This was great, Nicole. I definitely appreciate this. You spending time with us today. Today that we're filming this is actually the what shall be known as the eclipse day. So, you know,
yes.
I'm seeing cars pass behind you. I'm seeing cars go by my windows. I'm not 100% sure where people are headed to check out this whole eclipse.
We at Quiz Bowl yesterday at practice, some of the kids were actually being bussed up into Vermont from school down here to go check it out. Yes, this is a big deal. So
I'm going to purely selfishly throw out a little bit of a cow story, because it dovetails with some of the junior programming. In 1994, the convention was in Seattle, and I think it was Holsteins and More, Seattle 94. And I had the opportunity to compete on the senior Dairy Bowl team, and both of my sisters competed on the junior Dairy Bowl team. So that was kind of a cool sibling kind of thing. We were on separate teams, so that was lovely. It was just enough separation as is truly important with siblings. But both teams did very well, and it was a really iconic setting out at Carnation Farms for the sale, and a huge, huge crowd, which you can imagine with a beautiful setting like that. And our family members, our whole family was there, and we may or may not have gotten separated at some point from one another during the sale. And then one of the gentlemen in the box indicated that a cow that was going through the ring at that point was headed to Maine. And it was pretty remarkable how quickly the various family members found one another to figure out just exactly what had happened. And we had purchased Roylaine Liedman Glory that day, and she came home to Maine. And when we look at our herd, probably 30% of our herd traces to that cow. And when we look at our sale here in June, we'll sell 25 head that go back to that cow. And I think certainly for us to all be there as a family, you know, there were reasons we were there for all of us competing in the various contests, but that's pretty cool when you think of all the connections that go all the way across the country. And when I think of the other people that were on those Dairy Bowl teams with us, you know, there's definitely people that we see all the time. By the time this podcast is released, will be the end of April. So the countdown will very much be on for you folks that are headed out to convention. So best of luck to the teams, and have a great time. And thanks for joining me today, Nicole. And again, I would extend to folks, please do send along any other iconic cows that New England folks can think of, or you'd be interested in hearing more about. And in the meantime, find our podcasts and find more interesting information about the New England Holstein Association at nesholsteins.com. And we'll look forward to chatting with you again next month.